here on America Tonight. Your uses. We go inside the Beltway with the true insiders from Talk Radio News. Justin Duckham joins us this time around. And Justin, everybody's talking about what happened with Chen in China. And the Obama administration is trying to, I think, take a big swing back at this notion that's pumped out there that they're abandoning Chen. So what's the line, the storyline coming out of Washington?
Well, the White House continues to affirm that they were trying to follow Chen's orders to a T by not urging him to leave the country and by respecting his wishes in the first place. They're also fighting back against the narrative that American officials abandoned him once he arrived at the hospital. They're saying that he did go in with American officials, despite the fact that China's not allowing them to directly communicate with him now. They're also, reporting from the White House that Chen himself is regretting that the narrative is sort of moving away and making it a more difficult situation for President Obama. He has said that he is very happy with Secretary of State Clinton, and in fact wishes to thank her face to face for what she has done. But still, it's taking on a new political dimension here in Washington.
Yeah, the stuff with Secretary Clinton. So that doesn't put her at odds with Obama, right? I mean, this is kind of her baby because she's the Secretary of State.
You know, interestingly enough, the White House has signaled that they are going to give her. They're going to leave this up to her judgment.
Yeah.
Carney today repeatedly said that whether or not the U.S. grants asylum is a State Department issue. And while I acknowledge that President Obama has the right to step in or will be able to move in and sway decisions, they repeatedly said that they're going to try to take a hands-off approach and really let the State Department run with this. So all eyes are on Hillary right now, and unfortunately it could not have come at a worse time for her. She is over there right now, along with Secretary Geithner, for a strategic economic dialogue meeting, which is a pretty big deal, and this is something that threatens to at least overshadow it.
Yeah, no kidding. Let's switch gears and talk about the Osama bin Laden documents. There's a lot of people talking about this. People listening to America Tonight want details, details, details. And, you know, of course, the judge shot down the photographs and that Freedom of Information request from Judicial Watch. Now we're talking about all these documents. So what's the scoop on that?
Well, there were several thousand documents that were taken away from Osama bin Laden's compound. But only 12 today were officially, only 17 today were officially released. They were released by the CTC, the Counterterrorism Center, from West Point University, and they paint a pretty interesting picture of bin Laden. On one hand, they show that Al-Qaeda was relatively disorganized. While there was a lot of speculation immediately after bin Laden died that he was having a day-to-day role in the lives of a lot of affiliates, the new documents show that that is not necessarily the case. And, in fact, that while he was communicating with local Al-Qaeda affiliates, they were not necessarily heeding his advice. For example, he was trying to speak with those in Yemen who are now really considered today to be the most dangerous element of Al-Qaeda. And he was advising them to not take on the Yemeni government, to focus solely on America. And, that advice, as we all know, has gone relatively unheeded. It also includes a more complicated portrait of how Al-Qaeda operates with Iran. A lot of people on the far right have asserted that Iran is in cahoots with Al-Qaeda and may be offering them more support than people think. But today we see that if there is any relationship, it's a pretty rocky one, since there's pretty frequent disagreements over what prisoners Iran will release and how they are interacting with the terrorist world at large, and it shows that they are not necessarily the best of bedfellows.
Yeah, I think I saw something somewhere too where they're saying he watched a lot of television.
He did. He apparently liked TV and Whitney Houston. Interestingly enough, although he had a television, he either did not know how email worked, or the way he operated was he would have couriers take things from flash drives and then have them delivered to people individually. But there is some talk today that, judging by how the documents were written, he did not quite understand how modern internet really worked. So that's a little interesting sign of it today. We're we're definitely seeing a more complicated portrait of Bin Laden as this comes out.
Yeah. Hey, coming up a little bit later here on America Tonight, since it's been over a year since the death of Osama bin Laden, we're going to talk with Craig Charney, and he's got a research-based group in New York. They do international polling from crisis countries and emerging markets, so that should be interesting. Where was bin Laden anyway? Was his star waning? That's a good question for you, Justin, because you've been there in the fray. His star was kind of waning with al-Qaeda, wasn't it?
It was, and it showed that towards the end of his life, he was really just trying to be a sort of spiritual godfather. He didn't really exert a lot of the desire to take control of a lot of affiliates. He just wanted to be somebody who would give material support and would be sort of a media, or not material support, would give emotional support and be sort of the media's boogeyman for this and to try to rally people behind him. But at the end of the day, he was far less interested in day-to-day operations than, a lot of people expected.
Yeah. Justin Duckham, Talk Radio News. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you again soon. All right, so some of what we're going to actually dive into includes that conversation coming up in a couple of minutes with the pollster Craig Charney, and I think you'll find it fascinating. We talk a little bit about Yemen as well. Where are we since the 10 plus years after 9/11 and a year and a couple of days after the death of Osama bin Laden, so we'll dive into that as well. Also, Ron Paul ditched the TSA. How would you feel if there was no more TSA? Plus, I love this. This is part of Odds and Ends. Former NFLers, a bunch of them are saying, we got to check into the brain of Junior Seau, even though friends say they didn't see any true warning signs about his potentially killing himself. Now what's happened is other people are coming forward and saying, well, maybe this is a brain injury thing, which sends shudders through the NFL because this is something they want examined, but they don't, if you know what I mean. Because more and more information is coming out about the amount of hits, the time on the field, that kind of thing. And think about the NFL. Full contact, baby. That's what it is. Man on man. When I was covering the Cowboys and the Giants and I would go down to the field, I've never seen anything like it. That game moves so fast and the hits are so hard. That's what the NFL is all about. So very sad since Junior Seau took his life the other day. The reaction, he's got family, he's got three kids and an ex-wife. And now this possibility, the door open, that maybe there's something to do with a brain injury. And this, there's a lot of heat being turned up on the possibility of that for not just Seau, but, of course, there was another NFLer who killed himself, shot himself in the chest, and many of his teammates felt that there was something there, and he left a note about having his brain examined. Just a little bit, just scratching the surface of what we're going to talk about. But hang with us. He's in our green room coming up around the bend, Craig Charney. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Good day. Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. May 3rd, 2012. Gold open this morning at 1646.20. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for 1687.28, 843.64 for a half ounce, or 421.82 for a quarter ounce. That's 1687.28, 843.64, and 421.82.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance, as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Well, we've been talking about the documents, the Osama bin Laden documents being released, 17 in all by the CTC, and some of what was in these documents we'll talk about a little bit later in the show. So it's been just over a year since the death of Al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden. So what's happened? What's different? What's going on? Very pleased to welcome to the show Craig Charney. Charney has a New York-based international polling firm. You know, I'm the queen of polls. It specializes in crisis countries. It's so true. And emerging markets. Craig, you have no idea. You're coming. You're being so welcomed here because it's really true. I am the queen of polls. I love what you guys do. I think it's so cool. So as we look back over a year, what's the biggest difference? What's changed in a year?
What we can see now is that the death of bin Laden was the end of what I call Al-Qaeda 1.0, but the start for Al-Qaeda 2.0. The old command and control system that centered on the guy with the beard hanging out by the Pakistani military academy is no more. But instead, what's become clear is that in a whole bunch of other places, like Yemen, Algeria, Somalia, and others, their affiliates, friends, and followers are nonetheless burrowing away.
So, and they're burrowing away. While that's going on, there has been a complete shift to other parts of the Middle East and to other parts a little bit further away from what used to be ground zero. Is that right?
That's right. I mean, it's important to note that they haven't lost all their followers, but they're down to a small-ish minority in places like Pakistan, where maybe one out of eight people is favorable to them, and maybe something similar in Afghanistan. Still, between 200 million people, that's a lot of folks, and they can cause a good deal of mischief. But the old idea of Al-Qaeda, remember, was not just to cause a lot of mischief in the middle of Asia. It was to be able to conduct spectacular attacks against the U.S. through a pretty complex command and control system. That's what's gotten smashed.
So as that's been smashed, what has stepped up in its place? What's now in place?
What you might call a franchise operation, a little like McDonald's. They let people use the name, and they give operational techniques and advice, only instead of Hamburg University, it's Bomb-Making University. And what we're seeing as a result is two things. One is more violence happening in a variety of places. Northern Nigeria, the takeover by some odd mixture of jihadists and tribalists in northern Mali, the struggles with the Shabab in Somalia, as well as a certain lingering sympathy in places like Libya and Egypt for certain elements of the jihad. And what we're also seeing in terms of the attempts to attack the homeland have been sort of low-tech, much simpler things. People like Najib al-Azazi, the guy who was just testifying against his friend here in New York, who was trying to do a repeat of the London bus and subway bombings here just a couple of years ago for the 10th anniversary of 9/11, or the crotch bomber a couple of years back who was trying to set off a small bomb in his underwear.
Oh, yeah. So you think that that's going to continue to be the method of trying to attack the West is by using, as you said, bombs, those kind of clever bombs, that kind of stuff.
Lower tech, more modest technologies as opposed to the kind of huge spectacular that was arranged on 9/11, and that bin Laden kept trying to arrange, according to the documents, right up to the day of his death. I mean, he ends up sounding a little bit like Hitler in the mad days of the end of the Third Reich, where he was trying to order around non-existent armies and his aides were afraid to tell him that they weren't there. I mean, in the case of the Al-Qaeda documents, they're constantly having to explain to him, we can't do this, we can't do that, so-and-so is dead. But the fact that they can't conduct that kind of spectacular means that they're not an existential threat, but at the same time, it means that they can be something more than a nuisance and can cause real damage from time to time. You know, if they brought down one of those planes, for example.
Exactly. So as everything has shifted, and you mentioned you threw a few of the places out, of course, Somalia, Nigeria, you look at Yemen. Yemen is really the hot spot. But if it's the hot spot, and we know it's the hot spot, aren't a lot of our efforts to try to thwart al-Qaeda or the 1 in 8 or whoever it is that's being turned, isn't that the idea, is to get in there and infiltrate?
Well, Yemen, you remember, is where the bin Ladens actually came from, and it's the place where they enjoyed the most sympathy in the Arab world, in fact. It's also a very badly misgoverned place. What we have seen in the last few months is the end of an old regime which had really outlasted its tolerance in terms of the Yemeni people, and now there's an attempt at a transition towards something that will be more tolerable. I'm not sure if I can necessarily say much more democratic, but at least more tolerable to the people.
Yeah.
But at the same time, in certain parts of the country where the state's grip is weakened, a couple of provinces in particular, the al-Qaeda people are trying to make these their own.
Yeah. So they're trying to win them over in a much different way. But, of course, as you've done work in Afghanistan, big difference between Afghanistan, Pakistan and Yemen. What are the biggest differences? And let me explain that a little bit further. From what I understand, the toughest thing about Afghanistan is the illiteracy rate is so high, and the information most of the people get is through their visits to the local mosque. They don't really have televisions. Like, when we apologize for certain things that have happened, television isn't widespread. Maybe in your more modern areas, for lack of a better way to say that. But isn't it true that it's still a big difference in the communication methods, and hasn't this been a big problem of the gap that the United States has had trying to cover this?
Well, radio is the key communications medium in Afghanistan, actually. 70% of Afghans listen to the radio at least 3 or 4 times a week, and interestingly enough, the Voice of America and BBC have its largest audiences in Afghanistan.
Mm.
That said, however, Taliban support tends to concentrate in the other 20 or 30%, the people who are not listening to the radio, the people who are not on the grid and who are getting their information from their friendly neighborhood mullah or Taliban leader. So there is some truth to that. Of course, even in a place like Yemen, the media war is also going on. The biggest difference between Afghanistan and these other countries is twofold. First, that Afghanistan was ruled before by the Taliban, which left a very bad taste in the mouths of most Afghans. And second, it's been the host, willing or unwilling, of 150,000 foreign troops. And that, in many Afghans' eyes, has also been a problem. There were particular problems in 06 and 07 when the civilian casualty rate was very high. And even though we brought it down, you know, there is a certain amount of resentment at both cultural incidents like the various Quran desecration allegations and also the presence of a large number of foreigners who are not Muslim. That's why in places like Yemen, what we've tried to do is to work with local security forces and develop their strengths for counterinsurgency, while at the same time engaging in, well, you can't really call a Hellfire missile a surgical strike, but engaging in very specific pinpoint strikes for counterterrorism, like the attack that killed Anwar al-Awlaki.
Yeah. Craig, and I mentioned this at the top, of course, you specialize in international polling and crisis countries, emerging markets. Got to be fascinating stuff. What of the polls that you've done, and you've done them for you've done the polls for the government, international agencies, and NGOs, which I find so fascinating that you've been doing this for a decade. And when as you've seen what happened initially in the beginning to where we are now, what's the thing that surprised you the most about the opinions in the Middle East of the United States? What are you getting? What's some of the information that you found just made you scratch your head?
Well, there, I guess the biggest piece was the fact that people in the Middle East and Asia too often don't know what it is the U.S. is doing positively in their countries. When we read people in focus groups in places like Egypt, Morocco, and Indonesia, lists of all the U.S. aid projects in their countries, they nearly fell out of their chairs. They found them hard to believe. Some of them said, well, if all that were true, we'd be friends of America. But we've done, one of the things I really came to understand was what a bad job we've done in terms of public diplomacy and telling our own stories, and especially since the U.S. Information Agency was dismantled in 1996 at the behest of Jesse Helms. We sort of unilaterally disarmed in the war of ideas.
Yeah. Well, and see, this is what I would have, it's amazing you found that, and I would agree, because I've seen the same thing from people we have talked to in Afghanistan. What's not, things that are done in villages, how they're getting water, how they're building roads, some of that somehow gets lost in translation, or just never filter, it's never filtered down. So you're right, so there's not enough bragging.
There's a double paradox, and what we see is that Americans consistently overestimate our foreign aid, while foreigners consistently, their recipients consistently underestimate it. If you poll Americans, they tell you we're spending 40% of the budget on foreign aid. If you tell the ask the foreigners, they'll tell you next to nothing.
Yeah, boy, interesting stuff. Craig Charney, I know you had to hustle to get on the air with us. We appreciate that from Charney Research. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you again.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alley C. Why Alley C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alley C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alley C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alley C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alley C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alley C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alley C. For more information and to order Alley C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alley C today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
37 things to hoard. Do you have the 37 crucial food items you can't survive without? When the next disaster hits and the mobs go crazy grabbing food off the shelves, you and your family may be without food or waiting in long food lines. Prepare now at 123survivalplan.com. Easy as 123 to remember. 123survivalplan.com. Many people don't have these 37 food items. Learn what you need to hoard now at 123survivalplan.com. Watch the video we've set up for patriots only at 123survivalplan.com. MitoFreeSurvivalPlan.com. Get inside information on the 37 food items that will sell out first when the next disaster strikes. This video contains crucial information you and your family need to prepare for any natural or man-made disaster. In the last 6 months, over 1 million other smart patriots have already seen this video. Prepare now. Go to 123SurvivalPlan.com and learn which 37 food items you should hoard. Easy to remember, 123SurvivalPlan.com. Again, that's 123SurvivalPlan.com.
You may snicker when you hear this message, but you won't laugh after you experience the best-kept health secret ever, Camel Milk. Camel Milk is loaded with health benefits far superior to other milk. Camel Milk has antibacterial, antiviral, and anti-tumor properties, is rich in B vitamins, and Camel Milk is 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk, and 10 times higher in iron. And Camel Milk contains 52 units of insulin-like proteins per liter, effectively lowering blood sugar levels. Many of our members testified that drinking Camel Milk reversed diabetes and greatly improved autism. Camel Milk is easily digested by those who are lactose and beta casein intolerant, and comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm, shipped on dry ice to preserve freshness. Go to CamelMilkForSale.com now and look under Products and Pricing for the Spring Special with free bonus pints. That's CamelMilkForSale.com, CamelMilkForSale.com.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
To call Here on America tonight with me, Kate Delaney, Odds and Ends. And you can throw in your 2 cents on any or all of it. How do you do that? 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. Hit us up on chat and go to our website, americatonight.net, and you can also send us an email. You're going to love some of this stuff, boy. I was talking to a lot of people burning up the phone lines today about a couple of different things. One, I wanted to talk a little bit more about Junior Seau's death, because what this would do to the NFL, and it's something that I think, frankly, they want to cover up. Roger Goodell, the commissioner, is going along with some of the things that are happening, but can't be thrilled about it, because, listen, I already said this, these guys make a living slamming into each other. We're not talking about, for all of you that have played football, one big hit where you get slammed and you can barely peel yourself off the ground. We're talking about a 20-year career as a linebacker where you took a lot of hits. In fact, there have been a string of players recently in the last 5-6 years who have committed suicide. Andre Waters from the Philadelphia Eagles. Dave Duerson is a big one from the Chicago Bears. He shot himself in the chest, just like it appears that Junior Seau did. And he asked his family to donate his brain when he died to science so they could study the damage that was done because of the repeated concussions that he had. What did it do to his brain? And see, here's the thing. You think depression leading to the gunshot, killing yourself, suicide, being tormented with a thing called CTE. And what are the symptoms? Dementia, headaches, tremors, confusion, aggression, and depression. In a study of Duerson's brain, and there have been a lot of stories done on what happened there, they found evidence of CTE, that there was this massive trauma, which is what made his life so tough. So is that what was happening with Junior Seau? Because by all accounts, people who knew him, he was funny, he was personable, he was a great guy. Everyone liked him. He gave back to his community, but he was struggling with a few things. He tried to drive his Cadillac off a cliff a couple of years ago. There was an incident with a woman and saying that she was slugged and all this other stuff. So what leads to the depression and becomes so serious is a neurochemical imbalance. And it's very common in brain injuries to suffer from that depression because of the unbalance of the chemicals. So think of potentially what's going on in the NFL. Now, retired players, that's the thing. Here's what the NFL should do. If anything, they've got to assess the players. They've got to watch them closer, psychological assessments. Because really, in my heart of hearts, I have to believe that there is much more of this that's going to happen down the line as some of these players retire, which is why it's very smart when some who have concussions, like Merrill Hodge, who was also a Chicago Bear, they decide, that's enough, I'm retiring. Or Troy Aikman, who had 7-8 concussions. He didn't really want to step away from the game, but it was pretty smart of him probably to do that, because who knows down the line what kind of damage somebody might suffer. So in an upcoming couple of shows, we're going to look at that brain damage and things that happen to just people competing at all different levels, doing all different things, and how you forget the brain is it's so sensitive, particularly when hit in a certain area, which is why I'll tell you a funny story. I went to the rodeo last weekend. Yeehaw! And at the rodeo, they have kids that ride the mutton, and it is the coolest thing. I mean, they're like 50 pounds, if that. 3-, 4-, 5-year-olds, maybe 6-year-olds. And you know what? Those kids are wrapped up like sumo wrestlers. And I wonder why they can't stay on very long. They have helmets, and they've got all kinds of padding, because they're falling off. So they're making sure that they have something to protect them, especially that head. It's just like when many of you listening to the show live, people in Vermont, people in Portland, Maine, people in New Hampshire, people in Connecticut, New York, the Midwest, Colorado. You know what I'm talking about with skiing? At the resorts now, when you go to ski and you're a beginner, you have to wear a helmet because of the potential tragedy that could occur with your head if you fall down. Remember Natasha Richardson, what happened to her? Liam Neeson's wife, she was in Canada skiing, and sure enough, it was an odd fall. She took an odd fall, and eventually she was fine at first, and then it led to her death. But this is something different when we look at the brain. This is something that's a repeated hits, and what it's doing ultimately to these players, where they're crazed, where they feel isolated and have these overwhelming moments of depression, which the players I named would all be lumped into that category. And perhaps this is Junior Seau, what has happened to him as well. All right, as I said, we call it odds and ends because there are so many things that I think are worth mentioning here in this first hour of America Tonight, besides Seau and how sad that is, and ultimately what is the future of sports, and do we just turn a blind eye because, forget it, we're Americans, we love our football. Yeah, football, if you listen to Steve Budin, who was on the other night, is the biggest sport for us. There's no question about it. Whether it's gambling, rooting for your favorite team, wearing their jersey, having some season tickets, just watching the games, it's huge. It is the biggest slice of the pie in America, the biggest slice. You know, you can talk about rugby in Europe, and you can talk about other sports, soccer, but there is no question football rules. And what if there were certain things that were set up, and how would that change the sport of football? I think, honestly, they, as much as people want to know what's going on, the people in the sport, it scares them to death because they don't want, I don't think they want that many massive changes, better helmets, better equipment. Okay, fine, but there's only so much you can do when you're talking about these guys who are ramming into each other and take those hits, whether it's from the helmets, the ground, whatever it is, a couple of guys piling on top of you, just hit at a weird angle. I don't know how you can do much more in the protection category, just more with equipment, I guess. All right, this is a follow-up for odds, and there's one thing I wanted you to hear, too, because in listening during the day to several of the players speak, I was on all the cable stations flipping around because I wanted to see what we would hear from former players and other people reporting about this. So there's one little slice I wanted you to hear. This is Kyle Turley. Listen to what he has to say.
The problem is that networks like yourselves continue to say we don't know what the contributing factors are here. And we do know by research of the others that have followed suit in the same steps as Junior Seau that there is a direct correlation to the aftermath of the game of football as far as is concerned to brain injury. And there is a serious disease out there called chronic traumatic encephalopathy, CTE, that is not discussed enough, and you can't easily put a Band-Aid over it.
Yeah, so you hear what he says. He's saying you just can't put a Band-Aid over it. It's not discussed enough, and he knows that the reason it's not discussed is because people love their football and they don't want to see massive changes to the sport. But, boy, at what risk to the people who choose to play it? And I'm a football lover. I love watching football. I love covering football. I wrote a book called Level the Playing Field, Balls, Brats, and Other BS, and football is heavily featured in it, but really I'm scared to death for the guys that are playing it. You can't pay them enough for what possibly can happen to them. I mean, it's trading their life for a game that they love unless a few things are, I think, are tweaked. All right, this hacks me off more than anything. Picture this. You're on a plane. We're all on a plane together. America Tonight is sending us all to the Bahamas, and that includes Donovan Madsen and Matt Johnson, the technical maestros of the show they get to come to. So we got a crowded plane. We take off from JFK, and boom, bird strike. Well, we've talked about what's been happening so often here with a lot of different aviation experts. So we know what it is. We know what a bird strike is and why we're turning around. How about the FAA just slamming a Delta passenger for filming the bird strike? I hate to tell the people at the FAA, but we've got these things called camera phones now, and guess what? We're turning them on when something happens and we're on a plane because we feel the turbulence. I would turn it on just like he did. He shot it, but he got a scathing letter from them, a threatening letter condemning him for using that, and this is how they got him. They said, "Yo, using electronics during flight takeoff," because his Grant Cardone was his name. He became huge on YouTube after he posted the video of the birds being sucked into the engine. And he was in that LA-bound Delta flight back in mid-April that had to turn around and go back to New York. And then he just got slammed to the ground. They complained that the video was taken illegally because he used his iPad to film the strike. And the use of electronic devices is forbidden during what they call critical phases of the flight. But here's the thing most people don't know. The FAA is actually testing all electronic devices to see if in the future you can use them all the way through the flight anyway. Give me a break. You think he wasn't going to flip it up and shoot it? Of course he was. Stay with us.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a 1-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Sea Vault, 20 sea varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Attention, information in this one-minute message could save your life. Don't wait for the next emergency to happen. Act now to be prepared. Now, more than ever, civilians and communities must communicate with family, friends, and neighbors in the event of civil unrest, natural disasters, or other emergencies. That's why there's CivilDispatch.com. CivilDispatch.com is a universal system that can be used for a wide array of urgent notification alerts. Weather emergencies, civil unrest, emergency responders, amber alerts, school or business closings, any need-to-know situation. CivilDispatch.com is an emergency dispatch communication system, allowing anyone to quickly and easily send and instantaneously track emergency email and text alert notifications. CivilDispatch.com gives you the power of enterprise alerting without the enterprise cost. Don't find yourself unprepared. Learn more and become a member at CivilDispatch.com. That's CivilDispatch.com. Civilian Emergency Dispatch System. Peace through preparedness.
Can't get enough of that sound effect of that harp. Ba-bum, ba-bum, ba-bum. I think I've said this several times on the show, and this is brand new. It's not brand new for me taking it, but I got talked into trying Extendivite, and really that was essentially what happened by my pal Jason. And Extendivite is amazing. If you go to heartdrop.com, you can find out more about the company. I love Don Wiskin. He's from Canada, and he started the company because, geez, half the people in his family died from some kind of heart failure, and then it happened to him. His wife had to drive him to the hospital, and it scared him to death, and he had to find something that would work other than the crazy medications that he was on all over the place, and it did. He found out that there were some natural things that he could put together. He did that, and he's had some just amazing people that have told him their stories and how they went through hell and back and started to take Extendivite, and it really changed their life. So here's the upshot for me. The Delaney men I never met. My grandfather, my great-grandfather, and naturally the father, the great-great-grandfather. But the reason, at least part of the reason is, because I met the other side of the family, is because they all had heart attacks and died before they were even 40 years old. So, you know, you start to work out a lot. I'm getting in shape, playing tennis, and, and walking the dog, that pain. And so I don't want to have a heart attack. I don't want to end up like a statistic. And I decided I was going to take it. I did. And I didn't even realize what my blood pressure was, and it was borderline almost high. And it went down 20-some points in a mere 6 weeks. So for me, it's been really, really incredible, and I just can't say enough about Don Wiskin. He's cool. He came on this past week. I'll have him on this upcoming week to share some of the stories with us. And you should check out heartdrop.com. It's a song, and it's great stuff. The 800 number, because a few of you have asked me, Trish, Joe, here's the 800 number, 877-928-8822. So 977-928-8822. If you want to find out more about Extendivite 2, you can download the free app I've been telling you about. Press 4, and when you hold it up to your ear, once you download it, all you have to do is say, America Tonight, Extendovite, and boom, it'll get you right there. Which, by the way, you don't get a lot of spam and crap and all that other stuff from the app. It's just what you ask for, so it's just like any other app. Plus, if you get it, it's an easy, great way to communicate with me. Everybody always says, how can I get a hold of you? I can't remember the number. If you download the app, all you have to do is hold it up and say, America Tonight, call. And then you're in like that, and you don't have to remember 855-266-5283. All right, one last thing I'm going to throw in. Just talked about the FAA and how they ripped the Delta passenger, whatever. I'm glad he went all over the tube and whined about the FAA. He should have, and I'm glad that he filmed that with the iPad. So sorry, the era that we live in, something happens, guarantee it's going to be shot somehow on a plane, right? So, finishing up with the other odds and ends thing that we're going to talk about in the upcoming weeks, because I know there's people out there listening to the show, some of you guys that have had concussions and you worry about other things. I listed dementia, and there's Parkinson's is another thing we know. Muhammad Ali, that's a great example of it. 100 players decided that, you know, they've gotten together and they're suing the NFL over concussions for their lack of concern over what happened and not taking care of them. And so the Seau thing could fall right into it. Some of the people are people you probably have cheered for in the past, Jamal Anderson and O.J. Santiago. And there are other, each day there are other players that are jumping on this suit because they're saying that the NFL didn't take reasonable steps that was necessary to protect players from devastating head injuries, and that the NFL has pretty much, and this is what I think, this is why I have a problem with it, the NFL has downplayed and misrepresented the issues and misled players concerning the risks associated with concussions. So I'm glad that they're filing the suits. They should be doing that. Here's the last question, the last word on the show, and I'm going to talk about this for the upcoming weeks, too. I'm going to talk to more people about it. We've talked about it in the past. This is the deal. You're running for office or running to be reelected. So you're trotting out every shiny possible thing that you can, like being at the circus and entertaining people. I'll give you the cotton candy for free. And guess what? You get to ride the elephants. Won't it be great? President Obama is definitely going down that lane. So he was in front of a Hispanic audience, mostly Hispanic audience, on Thursday, and he said, you know what? I am ready to sign the DREAM Act. I am ready to do it. It's the Republicans' fault that that thing didn't go through. And if we could sign the DREAM Act, then all these students would have that pathway to citizenship. Here's a problem with the DREAM Act. I'll just be a little cynical in the beginning. What about the American kids' dreams? The people who grew up here and their dreams for their education? What he's doing is trading pretty much green cards for votes. Green cards for votes. It's like the voter registration stuff, the voter IDs. Because who cares? Just line up and vote. Just get in there and vote. We don't care. Because to me, if the president was serious about the DREAM Act, and I really mean this, in pouring through what happened in the first couple of years of his administration, when he had the Democrats in place, when he had the Democrats ready to vote or would have been able to do it, when he had the majority in Congress, he didn't do it in that first year. That would have been the time, if he was serious, to jump into it. So now it's easy, just blame it on the Republicans, say no isn't an option, I want to sign the DREAM Act, I got the, you know, just really play it out. I've got the pens ready, I want to work with anyone who's serious to get this done, to achieve bipartisan, comprehensive immigration reform that solves the challenge once and for all. We know if you look at the demographics across the country, the Hispanic population has flourished. Of course, many people who are here legally, but there's also the illegal folks that are here. So when I say trading green cards for votes, I mean it. How do you feel about that, America? I want you to think about that. Think about that and send me your thoughts. I don't care if you're a flaming liberal or the most conservative in the room. How do you feel about that when you really drill it down and think about it? How is college affordable? It needs to be affordable for everyone, right? But is it fair to do that when we're trying to secure our future? We're saying, I mean, basically, this is what they're saying. You've got the Latino voters, the big run-up to the election. It's perfect, too, because Cinco de Mayo is this weekend. So the president is going to be campaigning in Ohio and Virginia. So he said he's getting started with the fiesta just a little bit early. And as I said, it's very easy. This is an easy one to shove off into the lap of the Republicans. But when you think about the numbers, and then you think about the people waiting in line, and what does that mean? What does that mean with our tax dollars? You have to be kidding me. Talk about pandering. So the American kids are shoved to the side while people are here illegally. Get the education. Is that the idea? And I know that's a very cynical thing to say, and that certainly that's not blanket that across everywhere in every nook and cranny, but pretty much this is what we're talking about. We're ignoring the Constitution, we're on the brink, and we're pandering, or he's pandering for votes. It's all about the skin in. So what do you think? Are you part of the one and done movement? Am I looking at this through jaded eyes? AmericaTonight.net. Send me your thoughts.
Class.